Hi, Max. David speaking.
Hi, David. Thanks for a chance to tell you.
Pleasure. How are you?
Yeah, very well. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very good.
I was just wondering if we could maybe steer the conversation towards a bit of a Premiership, maybe review, preview, if you would
mind.
Yeah,
sure.
So a brilliant season last year with Northampton prevailing against Saracens in the final against the odds. And what did you make of the final?
Well, it was incredibly tense. I was on the sideline and, you know, as in being sort of aggressively neutral as I was, it was still incredibly tense. But, Northampton in that last period just took things to a level that one of the teams needed to take it to. And to be completely honest, I think most people expected Saracens to take it there just because they'd done so before and so recently. And in the end, it was Northampton that answered the call. They were deeply, deeply impressive. And yes, they got some great youth coming through, guys like Alex Waller. But actually, I think what they've done is win the Aviva Premiership with the smallest squad in the league. And that says amazing things about how they look after their players. And how fit their players are, but it does also unavoidably put a question mark over them. You know, if they get a couple of injuries to key players, how well will they cope then? We might find out this year. Hopefully we don't. We don't want anyone getting hurt, but they did an incredible thing winning the Premiership with an incredibly powerful squad, but actually a relatively small one.
Yeah, agreed. Going to Saracens, obviously lost in both finals, Heineken and Prem final. How do you think that would affect the CAM going into the new season?
I don't think it has a massive effect. I mean, especially not when you've won the Premiership before and reasonably recently. I think no team wins every final. And I think that's just fine. I don't think we'll see a massive drop off from Saracens. I still absolutely believe that, you know, with the guys they've got in that setup, you know, when you've got Brad Barrett running the defence and you've got the guys they got up front, I think they're going to be a top four side. I think there's pretty much no one questions that at this stage. It would be an upset if they weren't.
Yeah.
But I think losing Steve Borthwick, that the effect of that remains to be seen. They've signed Jim Hamilton, so in playing terms, they lose nothing because Jim is exceptional. He's a top-class player and any Premiership club would be glad to have a player like that. But actually, in terms of leadership, everyone who's ever played with or against Steve Borthwick knows what a leader he is. And for a leader like that to suddenly not be in the room can have an effect on a team. So someone else will step up, will need to, and they will step up. And they might have a different style, but it'd be really interesting to see how that team develops.
Yeah, absolutely. And looking to the European Cup, back at the Premiership, 3rd to 6th, Sale, Bath, Quins and Tigers. How do you think that'll play with their Premiership ambitions?
I think it's a tough one, but at least now you've got Premiership teams battling out every week against one another, you know, to basically have the opportunity to succeed in Europe, and everyone else is having to do it as well. So the Irish are now having to battle out week after week, and the Scottish and the Welsh, they're all fighting week on week till they can qualify for Europe. So actually every squad in Europe now is up against it because they've got to deal with European rugby and as well as their domestic league, and there's no resting for domestic games, so you can target the European games. Everyone is going to be flat out. We'll probably see some pretty tired bodies a year from now. There might be some more tired Irishmen than they were a year ago. I'm sure they won't mind that. But I think ultimately it's difficult and it really tests your squad, and recruitment becomes a massive part of it. And it's all very well signing a rock star, but who's going to play when he twists his ankle? You know, you've got, there are some teams that, you know, that did really well last season, like Sale Sharks, for example. They did brilliantly last season, really, really good season. They sort of caused so many upsets that it was halfway through the season we stopped calling them upsets. But you know, they've lost down to their frontline tight head props to Bath and Henry Thomas and the young international. Yet you lose players like that. They're the sort of players you want at your club for a decade.
Yeah.
And you lose guys like that. You know what happens when Kobias gets a knock and can't play for a couple of weeks. You know, so actually it will start to test the strength of the squad.
Yeah, and homing in on Bath, your old club, really strong end to the season, probably unlucky not to get in the playoffs, but a small matter of Sam Burgess. How do you think he'll fit in there?
I think it's really exciting, and, you know, you look, I think a lot of people were disappointed, you know, that Bath didn't make top four, especially after how they started the season. But if you look at a world 15 now, you'd probably have Francois Lowe either in it or very close to it.
Yeah.
He's that good. I mean, he's getting man of the match every time he plays for Bath and the Springboks. He's a sensational player, and he missed the last seven games of the season. Bath missed out on the top four by 1 point. And you think, well, is Francois Lowe good for 1 point in seven games? I'd say he probably is. So it's a very, very close run thing. In terms of Sam Burgess, I just can't wait. I mean, I'm a rugby fan, and okay, I'm a Bath fan. I don't pretend I'm not. I've played there for a long time. I've worked there for a long time. I don't work there anymore, but I'm still massively excited about Sam Burgess, to be honest with you, more than any other signing, just because we don't really know what's going to happen. I think potentially the best signing any Premiership club has made is John Arfoa, the tight end prop going to Gloucester.
Yeah.
If he plays anywhere near the level he's played at for the last three or four seasons, I think he's the best tight end prop in the world.
Yeah.
He's that good. He's an all-rounder, massive unit, brilliant athlete, engine. He can scrummage low. He's got the lot. And he's a great signing. But in terms of pure excitement, Sam Burgess is the one for me, because being, you know, a little bit crude about it, I just can't wait to see him smash someone. hopefully it's legal. And yeah, we don't condone high tackling, but as long as he learns to wrap his arms and go 6 inches lower,
it'll be interesting.
He could cause some proper damage. As to where he's going to play, don't know. Probably start at 12, may move towards the back row, may not. At some point, he's going to take a ball up, and at some point, someone's going to have to take a ball up into him when he knows they're coming. And it's going to be crunch time. I can't wait.
Yeah, I can't either. It's going to be awesome. And also, is he England's sort of... Will he solidify England's worries in the centres? You know, we know how quick Jason Robinson was to convert from league to England.
I don't think Jason Robinson is... There's no one in world rugby you can compare with him. There isn't anyone. And people compare Kyle Eastman because he's young, because he's small, black, and he's from rugby league. He's nothing like Jason Robinson as a player. He's a ball player. Jason Robinson was a finisher and a defender beater, basically. He was a runner. So they're nothing. They're sort of a running back and a quarterback. They're completely different players. So the comparisons don't work for me. And I don't think anyone can be compared to Robinson, frankly. He was a freak player, in a good way. So in terms of Sam Burgess being England's answer, I would be astonished if he arrived in October and was England's first choice inside centre for the World Cup. I mean, not that I don't think he will be, but I think that's a hell of a step to expect him to make. And I'm sure he wants to, and I'm sure he's got the... I watch a lot of rugby league, and he's definitely got the ability. But think of the guys he's got to overtake to get there, and how long those guys have been playing professional rugby union, you know? It's very, very difficult. Even the guys who aren't currently playing for England, you know, he's got to be better than Anthony Allen. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got to be better than him. He's got to be better than Kyle Eastman. He's got a hell of a job on his hands. And if George Ford really comes through, or Cipriani really comes through, you're talking potentially Owen Farrell playing at 12. He's got to be better at rugby union than Owen Farrell. We know he's bigger and quicker and hits harder, but he's got to be better all round than Owen Farrell, or, you know, or Eastman or Allen, or, you know, Henry Trinity at 13 or 12 trees. You know, he's got to be better than all these guys who've been doing it all their lives. And
yeah, but, you know, maybe with that relationship with George Ford at Bath, that's going to stand him in good stead.
I'd definitely help. It really will. I mean, I still see at the moment Owen Farrell being first choice for England. And, I think certainly there are other fly halves who could do that job. But I think Owen Farrell's got that sewn up. As much to do with his attitude and behaviour around the squad, and his communication and attitude on the field, as much to do with that as his actual rugby. I think the bloke he is a big part of his selection. But I don't know, there's every chance Sam Burgess will play for England. I expect he will play for England, but if he's first choice centre for the World Cup, that is a big step, and I think there's a lot of pressure to put on his shoulders. Mm-hmm. But I can't wait to see him try.
No, I can't either. Over to Premiership New Boys London Welsh. They've been signing hard. Piriwipu being a pretty awesome, experienced member. How do you think their longevity will be in the season? How do you think they'll get on?
I think they've recruited nicely. I mean, what you get with Piriwipu is you get a top all-round player, so you get great service, which means that if you're under pressure up front, which they might be on occasion, then you have Wipu with great service, very good at digging a ball out and getting it away. You have Ollie Bock, who is one of the best in the business at clearing the lines. So you do have a kind of pressure release system there. You also have a system with Ollie Barkley there whereby every time you win a penalty in the opposition half, there is a chance you will get points. He's one of the best point scorers the English game's seen, probably. So they've recruited nicely. I think in terms of longevity, I don't think any coach goes into a game openly telling his team, look, these are the five games they've got to target, because as soon as you lose one of those, you think you're knackered and it doesn't really work. They're the sort of team that will probably get a few seeing-tos, but I think will prove really awkward to beat at home, especially when the weather's bad. I think it's not like you're going to a ground you haven't played at before and it's Bloemfontein. You know, it's Kassam in Oxford, and being completely frank about it, there's not a huge amount of atmosphere, and it's odd when you're an amateur player and you step into the Pro League, and suddenly the atmosphere can phase you a bit. It can work the other way around. You go to a ground that is largely quiet and there aren't that many people there. Hopefully they sell a lot of tickets, but if there aren't, you know, that can also reduce adrenaline. Yeah. So you can actually, you found even last year, I mean, Saracens very nearly lost at London Welsh season before last, very nearly. And I remember that they got a scrum penalty in the last minute of the game and won at London Welsh. And it was, for me, it was a bad decision. And London Welsh won that game against Saris, who eventually won the league. So,
yeah,
you know, it does, to say it drags people down to their level is really, that's more insulting than I mean to be, but it does temper the fire a little bit of the opposition when they come somewhere kind of quiet and that they're not used to. So I think that's a massive advantage for them.
Yeah. Are there any surprise packages for you, looking at last season at the sort of mid to bottom table? Who do you think's got a real chance of challenging the top? We've obviously touched on Gloucester, but, you know, Chiefs, Wasps.
Chiefs, I think something interesting about Chiefs, I found their set piece hasn't been as secure the last year as it, you know, has been ever since they got promoted. It's always been a guaranteed source of ball for them and a steady ball. And I think if they can really work on getting the front row together as often as possible and keeping them fit, which is always difficult. So, you know, you're looking at Ben Moon had a really good season last year. So you get Ben Moon or Brett Sturgis and you get Hoana Tui on the tight and Yinda in the middle, very good play. You get that unit really functioning and suddenly you're steady and you're getting a lot of steady ball and you're causing opposition problems, which is what they were doing ever since they got promoted. They seemed to drop off a bit last year in those terms. I also think that the back row at Exeter, you know, it's chock-a-block with talent, but I think James Scaisbrook didn't play a lot last year and Ben White was fantastic. He had a great season, but with Tom Johnson, Dave Ewers and Ben White, there's possibly not as much destructive, slowing, you know, awkward, nauseating work going on the floor as there was when James Scaisbrook was playing.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben White, you have a big athlete who scores tries through the middle and makes breaks and causes problems, ball in hand. But I feel like they could address that balance a little bit, because for me, Ewers has to play. And Tom Johnson and Ben White are almost similar players, I think. So I really think you might see an out-and-out seven, whether that's Scaisbrook or someone else, you might see an out-and-out sort of groundsman playing a bit more down there just to cause opposition more problems, certainly on the floor. And if they do that, I think they're a different team.
Yeah.
But Gloucester absolutely should be challenging. They absolutely should be up there pushing, certainly top six. They should be pushing top four.
Mm-hmm.
Backline sensational. And they've gone big in the front row. They've gone really, really big. And for me, those guys stay fit. They're good enough. They've got a couple of, you know, what you call championship winning players now in that pack, which is really where they needed them. So I think they'll be a very interesting package this year. And, you know, as a rugby lover, I'm very, very keen that, even though I play for Bath and they're the enemy, I'm very keen that they do well and don't underwhelm again, because it's not what the place deserves.
No. If we could just finally move on to you on a personal level. You touched on moving away from Bath. Have you got any plans for the near future?
I'll probably just stick to the underwear modelling, to be honest. I do have plans. I mean, after I retired, Bath was fantastic for me. It gave me a great job, which I loved, and I'm still very friendly with everyone there, and it's all incredibly amicable. But I kind of was in the retirement zone where I needed to find out where I was going to go, and I needed to work, and I needed to not be sitting around wondering what I was going to do with the rest of my life. So I kind of said yes to everything, and it got to the point where I really had no time to see my family, no time to, you know, sort of sit down, no time to walk the dog or mow the lawn or do any exercise, and I was feeling pretty exhausted and toxic and kind of over it all. I decided to stop working at Bath Rugby. I'll do the ITV highlights again this year with Mark Durden-Smith with ITV4, which I love. We have a great time. I'll do hopefully a lot more BT Sport work. I still write a few columns, and I'll probably try and add another one to that list at some point. Something I really like doing, which, you know, isn't to do with the media really, is I like hosting events. I do a bit of guest speaking, which is fine, but I really prefer emceeing, sort of comparing events, and I have a really good time doing that. And it means I can start saying yes to a lot more of those now, and I have a really good crack at those. So it's kind of a year that I'm really looking forward to. It's a bit of a punt leaving a solid office job, as it were, but I felt I had to do it for my family's benefit and, yeah, you know, for mine, because I didn't really have a life the last sort of year or 18 months, so something I had to give.
Brilliant. Well, that was it, David. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate you chatting
to me. No worries, mate.